Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget, we will have coverage tonight, as warranted, of any developments in the Democratic presidential race, with the last primaries taking place in South Dakota and Montana tonight, and some perhaps very important speeches coming from both Clinton and Obama. We'll interrupt programming as needed to bring you any news and those speeches. That'll be tonight on WNYC FM and AM, and of course on WNYC.org. Now, much like community colleges, vocational high schools are fighting the reputation of being a lesser alternative for kids who couldn't make it on the road to a four-year college. The boys and girls who, you know, couldn't sit still in a regular class would get tracked, call it sidetracked, into schools where they could do shop classes all day and let the college-bound kids get on with it. Liberal critics of those schools objected to the idea of classifying kids as early as ninth grade as not being college material. Sometimes it was even race-based. But a recent report from the Center for Urban Future, a liberal think tank in New York, asks for an expansion of the city's vocational schools, now called Career and Technical Education, or CTE, high schools. The report is called Schools That Work, and its author joins me now, David Jason Fisher, the Project Director for Workforce Development and Social Policy at the Center for an Urban Future. Also with us is John Widland, the principal of George Westinghouse High School in downtown Brooklyn, one of the CTE schools. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
David Fisher, how many CTE schools are there in New York, and what kinds of careers are they preparing students for?
There are 21 designated career and technical education high schools in New York City, and also many more career and technical education programs within academic high schools. They tend to focus, in terms of the programming, in areas of high need for the city's economy now and 10 to 20 years out, based on projections: information technology, healthcare, construction, communications, hospitality. I mean, good fields that have real career ladders, a wide range of opportunities, and don't necessarily require a four-year college degree to succeed in.
Principal Widland, tell us about your school, George Westinghouse High School. What kind of training do you give students there primarily?
Well, we give students academic training. I was listening to your earlier comments about making sure that students are college ready. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to tell you that we attempt to accomplish both, so that our students receive all of the academic preparedness and coursework that they would in any New York City high school. And we have this system in place that kind of runs simultaneous, that they receive a full sequence in career and technical education. And some of the things David mentioned, we do have an IT program, we have an electrical insulation program, we have an optical program, multimedia. I mean, we're really trying to always look at and examine what we do and project forward, as David mentioned, to provide something that's meaningful to our students.
So how much class time roughly is devoted to technical or vocational training, and how much to basic academic skills, math and reading and history,
right,
and such?
It actually comes out to about two periods, of which would be 25% of a youngster's day would be devoted to a CTE sequence. And the remainder of the day is in the various academic disciplines.
And what percentage of your graduates go on to college?
It actually varies, because, you know, we look at two-year technical schools the same as four-year schools. So a higher percentage. Actually, I'm happy to tell you that most students upon graduation have the ability to go on to a four-year school, two-year school, and we do a pretty good job lining them up with some careers right out of school. So, you know, it does vary a bit year by year, but it's not much different than, you know, your traditional four-year academic high school.
So, David Fisher, why do these schools have such a shaky reputation? I mean, I learned from your report that these schools have an illustrious history. One school even had engraved diningware. When did their reputations fall? When did it become sort of a failure, not only of the student, but of the administration, to track students into programs like this?
I think that really began to happen in the decades after World War II. There was this sense that jobs where you work with your hands were out, higher academic standards were the order of the day. There was this this mindset, and it really gathered force in the last decades of the 20th century after the 1983 report, A Nation at Risk, that really the goal should be to get everyone through a four-year college. What I think the issue is with that is that public officials and education reformers didn't realize, one, and schools like Westinghouse show this every day, as John said, that there's no contradiction between learning a trade and preparing for college, and in fact they're mutually supporting in some sense, and two, that the jobs that these schools prepare young people for in some ways are better jobs than the, you know, mid-level marketing director or sort of bureaucrat or IT position that can be outsourced. I mean, the jobs like plumbing or carpentry or welding or auto maintenance or nursing cannot really be outsourced. These are positions where you need the people here.
You know, it's funny. We talk about giving students a well-rounded liberal arts education by making sure they, you know, read the Odyssey and know something about the history of the world, et cetera, et cetera. Probably what a lot of people in this society are not learning how to do is work with their hands and fix things. And maybe it should be part of a well-rounded education, even for people who are headed to the Ivy League, to do a little bit more of this than they do.
Well, I think a generation ago they did some of that in middle schools to really expose students to a variety of possibilities. And I'm going to tell you that I'm a graduate of a vocational technical high school in New York City, and it was in the early 1980s, and I think even into the 70s, this is where the shift occurred, in that that's where you go if you want to use your hands, and then there's another institution that you go to if college is in your future. As a matter of fact, I didn't have a college advisor. I didn't have the opportunity to have an SAT prep type class. Mm-hmm. There were things that, now I just happened to pick that path, and I was sort of put into the group of the kids who are going to make it despite whatever. But the reality is that these are some changes that the feeling still exists today, because even when we go out to talk to parents and to go to schools and to have middle school guidance counselors kind of hear what's available to us, I think, you know, you could almost see that they're thinking that's vocational, that's hands-on, that's meant for that kid. When the reality is we should really think about, you know, I like the term begin with the end in mind, and realize there's a full spectrum of employment out there. Every child will become an adult. And why don't we look at our educational system to best prepare them and to give them real choices post-secondary and beyond? And let them have a pathway that they get to come in and to choose with some flexibility, certainly with a strong academic core. And then they're going to leave us and leave two-year schools or four-year schools and have a variety of opportunities, rather than to say, you know, this group tests well, so you'll be in this category, and then this group will work with their hands, and that's kind of it. Because it doesn't fit our economy today.
We're talking about the place of vocational or technical training in high schools, especially in New York City, with the author of a report from the Center for Urban Future called Schools That Work. That's David Jason Fisher and John Widland, who is the principal of George Westinghouse High School in downtown Brooklyn, one of these CTE or career and technical education public high schools. We have some calls coming in. Our phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Aaron in Brooklyn. Hi, Aaron. You're on WNYC.
Hello. Thank you. The speaker was great and pretty much made my comment for me, which is, you know, I did have a vocational training and I have a master's degree.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and I feel that I've encountered a great deal of prejudice, even the way Brian unfortunately introduced the segment, you know, giving people vocational education so they don't drop out of school. And yet we're talking about construction accidents and we want people to have sophisticated training in welding. You know, if we gave people training in welding instead of just computers, you know, maybe they'd be able to recognize the problem that caused this tragedy this week. But instead, what we say is high voltage, that's dangerous. Sharp tools, that's dangerous. High RPM, that's dangerous. Why don't we just give them computers? It's cheaper. And you know, we just developed a generation of physical idiots. They may be intellectual geniuses, but we've given people no reason to think that that there's high status in working with their hands. And, you know, I run a construction company. It's pretty hard to get this work done when the status is low and the available workforce is limited.
Aaron, you're absolutely right. That was a fabulous call. And David Jason Fisher, what about the part of my introduction that he criticized specifically? If I said that maybe it's being revisited as a way to stem the dropout rate, in addition to all the other, you know, excellent reasons that he just mentioned, is it looked on that way? Is that one of the reasons you did this report? Because for a lot of kids who don't see college in their future, who don't see education as being particularly relevant to them, and maybe don't have the option of technical training or the awareness that it is an option, they're dropping out.
Well, I came to this work as a workforce development researcher, and the initial question that I looked to answer was, is there potential for career and technical education high schools to help New York City meet its workforce needs as the baby boomers start to retire in large numbers over the next 10 to 20 years? And the answer to that pretty clearly is yes. There are problems with that, which we can get into. But that doesn't mean that this mode of educational programming has no bearing on the dropout rate. It obviously does. In the report, we cite a study by the Gates Foundation that looked at dropouts in California, and they surveyed a large number of young people who had dropped out and asked them why they left school. A plurality of respondents, 47%, said that there was nothing in there that spoke to them, that they had no motivation to go to school.
In fact, let me talk to Nancy in Toms River, a mom who I think has a story right along these lines. Nancy?
Hi there. Thank you for having my call this morning.
You bet.
This really touches a nerve with me because I have two sons. The older one, both of them had some learning problems. They could have difficulty reading. They had reversals, et cetera, et cetera. And so they had assistance along the years with that. When the younger one got to be high school age, I encouraged him, please go into a technical school. You really are not the academic student. You're not the reader. You don't like to do that writing and so forth. Oh, no, no, no. He wouldn't go into that vocational school. First of all, he said, that's where the deadheads go. And he was working toward an Eagle Scout. He didn't consider himself a deadhead. And secondly, they didn't have a sports program, and he wanted to play sports.
Yeah. So, Ness, I have to leave it there because we're going to run out of time, but it's a great story. And by deadheads, I know she doesn't mean people who like a certain rock and roll band. So, Principal Widland, obviously your kids don't consider themselves on a dead-end track, but do they have to fight a stereotype in order to look at themselves that way?
I think society in at large has a certain stereotype, and David did mention that earlier on in this discussion about the hands-on activities and what it means to get dirty when you make a living.
I'm happy
to tell you that we have many students who see the benefits of both, actually.
What's your four-year graduation rate?
It has varied. Depends on how you look at it. I can give you eight numbers. One would tell you 65%, one would tell you 71.9%, which was when the last report was produced. I could tell you 85%. It depends how you look at it. It depends who's looking. But so, it's significantly better than it was, and it's, you know, highlighted in David's report. At that point, that's kind of the fairest way to look at it.
And what about the issue of race in our last minute? Because that's one of the reasons that this fell into decline, is that there were, you know, rightful protests by Black and Latino parents who said their kids were being tracked as not academically college bound because of bias, maybe unintentionally so, white administrators.
I can't speak to that. Because I'm the high school level, so I don't know what occurred, but I do recognize and understand as a parent. Frustration in wanting what's best for my child.
David, let me get you on that because you looked at this as a big picture in your report.
I think the numbers are what they are, and they show some disparity in outcomes based on racial distinctions. But the point that John made, again, I come back to that. There is no contradiction, and in fact, there's a lot of reason to believe that it's mutually supportive between taking CTE classes in high school and then going on to college. I mean, think about the college dropout rate that we have. A reason for that is that a lot of students don't know why they're there. CTE provides that reasoning.
David Jason Fisher, Project Director for Workforce Development and Social Policy at the Center for Urban Future, lead author of the report Schools That Work, John Widland, Principal of George Westinghouse High School in downtown Brooklyn. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.